We now know this season's first two semi-finalists after another pulsating night in the UEFA Champions League. Barcelona started the evening leading 4-1 with one foot in the semi-finals, but Roma were rampant.
Cengizunda with the corner, flicked goalwards and in by Kostas Manolas. And as things stand, Roma are knocking Barcelona out of the UEFA Champions League. A stunning night at the Stadio Olimpico. Roma had to score three times, and score three times they have done.
Roma go through to the last four on away goals. Manchester City also started the evening trying to overturn a three-goal deficit against Liverpool, and their comeback started well.
Sterling has found Jesus, who scores! Less than 2 minutes on the clock, and that's the start they wanted.
But it was to be Liverpool's night.
Firmino's in on goal, Liverpool scores! Roberto Firmino has sealed Liverpool's place in the semi-final. Champions League, after a decade, they are back, and Manchester City's dreams are dashed.
All the best analysis and reaction to come from Mo Salah, Jurgen Klopp and Edin Dzeko. Plus, we'll hear from Gigi Buffon and Wissam Ben Yedder ahead of Wednesday's second legs, with their Juventus and Sevilla sides needing huge performances to overcome Real Madrid and Bayern respectively. Stay with us right here on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Taylor, and I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, let's start with the drama in the Italian capital. No one thought, sincerely, that Roma would do it.
No, not against the great Barcelona with the legendary Lionel Messi. One of the great UEFA Champions League nights, not just of the quarterfinals, but of all time. Just the third team ever to overturn a three-goal first-leg deficit, joining Deportivo and Barcelona, who did it against Paris Saint-Germain, 4-goal deficit. But they were absolutely magnificent, and Roma quite improbably knocking out Barcelona to reach the semi-finals for the first time in the UEFA Champions League era.
Okay, more on that and the other game to come. A reminder of the classified results then from Tuesday. Manchester City 1, Liverpool 2. Liverpool progress 5-1 on aggregate. Roma 3, Barcelona 0, 4-4 on aggregate. Roma win on away goals. And we start with that tie at the Stadio Olimpico, where, of course, Barca began with a 4-1 first leg lead in their tie against Roma. Steve Wyeth describes the action.
One over the top for Edin Dzeko to chase. He gets there first. Edin Dzeko with the chance. And Edin Dzeko with the early goal back for Roma. Snuck between two defenders, Edin Dzeko. His control was sublime. And then he toe-pokes it past the advancing mark, Andre Ter Stegen. And Roma lead Barcelona by a goal to nil on the night. The ball is on the spot. And it is going to be the captain, Daniele De Rossi, who steps up and drives the ball into the corner of the goal. Fingertips from Ter Stegen, but he couldn't keep it out. Cengizunda with the corner, flicked goalwards, and in by Kostas Manolas. And as things stand, Roma are knocking Barcelona out of the UEFA Champions League and taking place in the semi-finals for the first time in 34 years. A stunning night at the Stadio Olimpico. Roma had to score three times, and score three times they have done. It is 4-4 on aggregate. Roma are going through on away goals.
Remarkable. Joining Chris and myself now is Steve Wyeth, our commentator for that game. Steve, I didn't think whatever happened that the matters in Rome tonight would overtake the Manchester City story in terms of the show. But my word, what a performance, what a comeback against all the odds, and perhaps against Roma's own expectations.
I think, didn't I say 3.5 hours ago that I thought Roma would win 3-0 tonight?
Did you?
No, I didn't. I don't think anybody saw this coming, Rob. An astonishing night. Not even the most optimistic of Roma supporters surely came to the Olimpico this evening thinking that despite the club feeling as though they are destined for better and greater things over the course of the next few years, that tonight would be the night that they would completely upstage a member of European football aristocracy in the way that they did. There was a defiance about Roma early on, that they weren't going to go out with a whimper, that they would do themselves proud this evening, that they would unsettle Barcelona, that they would maybe win the game on the night, but go out in a blaze of glory. But not a bit of it. They dominated from start to finish. Barcelona didn't lay a glove on Roma for 90 minutes, for 94 minutes. And the 3-0 scoreline does not flatter Roma one iota. Not at all, not even close.
Steve, the scenes at the final whistle were akin to Roma winning the UEFA Champions League. In the stands, on the pitch, just looking at them, you know, it's been this way all season, hasn't it, really? In the group stage, they were paired with Atletico and Chelsea.
No one gave them a chance.
No one gave them a chance. Shakhtar were one of the teams of the group stage. I think, you know, it was 50-50, but maybe people thought, yeah, Shakhtar won the first leg of that round of 16 time. This might be Roma's, you know, great adventure over. They got through that one. And then, over two legs to beat Barcelona, it's turning into a historic campaign, but it's already a historic campaign.
Look, there was a big job in the summer for Roma to do. A new sporting director in the shape of Monchi, a team that needed a little bit of rebuilding after the retirement of Totti, the departure of Mo Salah to Liverpool. They decided to go strength in depth, Roma, to try and be able to contend with the multi-layers of competition that a season requires. They plumped for Eusebio Di Francesco, who'd had a remarkable five seasons in Sassuolo and seemingly was the next cab on the rank for a big job in Italian football. But it was Roma that took the punt on a man untested at the very, very highest level of football. And they've not quite been up to the challenge in Serie A this season. They are well off the title pace. If you consider that they had a record-breaking season in accruing 87 points last season, they're not going to get close to that this time around. They may not even finish in the top four, but that will be forgiven for the glory of tonight and the pride that it will bring everybody at the club. It's a real statement victory for Eusebio Di Francesco and his players. Edin Dzeko superb all evening. Raja Nainggolan from back to front, leading by example. And a three-pronged defence, Manolas Fazio and Juan Jesus, who somehow kept Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez quiet for 94 minutes.
Well, let's hear from the man who got the comeback started, their striker, Edin Dzeko.
I think, first of all, nobody believed in us before the game. They gave us, I don't know, 5%, but obviously it's normal when you play and against such a team like Barcelona, and you lose the first game 4-1. So obviously it's difficult to believe you can score 3 goals against them. But we did it, and we did it in style.
Chris, what percentage chance did you give Roma pre-match?
I think it was less than zero. I don't think anybody did. I mean, Di Francesco before the game said, we believe we can produce a miracle. It was close to a miracle, wasn't it? I thought Barcelona were going to score, and I wasn't sure that Roma were going to be able to score 3 past them.
Well, interesting as well that two of the scorers tonight, De Rossi and Manolas, own goal scorers from the first leg.
Yes, of course.
Truly extraordinary. How did they keep... I mean, Lionel Messi is in unbelievable form at the moment, Steve. Make no mistake. How did they keep him quiet?
Yeah, 12 goals in his last 9 appearances. Just needs one more for 40 for the season once again. He and Luis Suarez are having a stellar 2018 so far. This is a team that before tonight had lost only 3 times in 50 games in all competitions. And 2 of those were against Real Madrid in the pre-season Supercopa. So they've only been beaten once since then before this evening. Unbeaten in La Liga, runaway leaders of the Spanish Liga. There was absolutely nothing to suggest that they weren't more than capable of protecting and if not extending the 4-1 advantage they enjoyed from the first leg. But just somehow, whether there was a complacency, which would seem so unusual for a team that just 13 months ago produced an even greater comeback in terms of the numerical numbers they had to overcome to see off Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16. They just didn't get to grips with the intensity of the contest at any point. And just to give you a little bit of historical context here, Chris and Rob, the last time that Roma won a quarter-final in what was then the European Cup, they did so against Berliner FC Dynamo, who now play in the fourth tier of German football, and their semi-final opponents were Dundee United of Scotland. That is how long it is since Roma got to this stage of what is now the UEFA Champions League.
And of course then lost to Liverpool in Rome.
On penalties in the final.
Absolutely. And from Barcelona's point of view, second season in a row out to Italian opposition in the quarterfinals.
And fourth time in the last five seasons that they've lost in this stage. At this stage, if you bear in mind that before that they went on a six season run to the semi-finals.
Yeah.
So there will be an inquest in Barcelona.
Absolutely. And what did you make of? Obviously, we've been used to seeing them with three up front for such a long time. It's worked certainly until tonight, if you like, for Ernesto Valverde, but. You know, there'll be questions, I guess, of that. It's a brave person who changes the Barcelona formation, and it has worked, but obviously not at the Stadio Olimpico this evening when they really needed a goal, they couldn't find
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, I suppose in terms of the change of formation, the departure of Neymar sort of forced their hand to an extent, and then if you add that, the fact that, you know, his replacement, Ousmane Dembele, has spent most of the season on the sidelines injured. It was only his 17th appearance in all competitions when he came on as a late substitute. So perhaps Ernesto Valverde hasn't had the players at his disposal to play the preferred 4-3-3 formation. I wonder whether they might reflect, once the dust has settled, Barcelona, on an issue that we've perhaps looked at with other clubs, notably Bayern and Juventus in the past, where they've been so comfortably off domestically that it's been really difficult to raise their level in the latter stages of the UEFA Champions League, where the intensity remains. And with the advantage, the 11-point advantage they have at the top of the Spanish Liga, I just wonder whether they've just fallen into that difficult area where they're comfortably off domestically. And when it came to a really intensive night in Europe, midweek, they weren't quite able to raise their level.
And part of the reason they brought in the likes of Felipe Coutinho to alleviate the pressure on the UEFA Champions League squad, to bring him in January. Look, Steve, a quick final one. What does this mean to Roma as a football club? Because the celebrations when the goal went in at full-time were absolutely wild.
They believe that they need to make a big step. Not just that challenging Juventus at the top of Serie A is one thing, but Juventus are so strong, so dominant. They've won the title in the last six seasons. No team in Italy has ever been so dominant over a prolonged period of time as Juventus are. That perhaps European competition was a statement opportunity for them. That's why they strengthened the squad rather than the starting 11 during the summer, to be able to balance competing domestically and in Europe. And it's a decision which tonight they will say has been proved to be a good one, because everybody in world football knows the name of Roma now. They've just knocked out the mighty Barcelona.
Steve, thank you. We'll get your man of the match a little bit later and talk to you about Juve as well ahead of their game against Real Madrid. But next on the show, to the all-English tie with Manchester City trying to make up a 3-0 deficit against Liverpool. Richard Connolly, watch this one.
And a chance to counter for City's right at the start. Sterling has found Jesus, who scores! Less than 2 minutes on the clock, and that's the start they wanted. Clinically taken by Gabriel Jesus, found by Raheem Sterling, and less than 2 minutes in, Liverpool's defence has been split open. 1-0 to Manchester City. And Mane's attacking the box here. He's into the box. Was he fouled? He's gone down. Salah goes round the goalkeeper and takes it home! And Liverpool have the away goal that changes the tie completely and maybe settles it in their favour. And it's Mo Salah yet again. The calmest finish you'd imagine. Firmino's in on goal. Liverpool scores! Roberto Firmino has sealed Liverpool's place in the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League. Manchester City's dreams are dashed.
What a result for Liverpool. They won 2-1 on the night and 5-1 on aggregate against Manchester City. Let's hear from one of their goal scorers, Mo Salah, but first his captain. And Liverpool's captain, we know, Jordan Henderson, James Milner.
You know, they're a good team. They're always going to put you under pressure. We knew that. You know, we couldn't get out. We needed to be higher and put a bit more pressure on them. If you give good players time on the ball, they're going to hurt you. And they had chances. But, you know, I think that shows a lot how we came out second half and went again and put in that performance and got the result.
Yeah, I think the goal was on time for us because they were pressing very high and they had many chances. So in the beginning, we struggled a little bit because they scored in the first 2 minutes. So after that, we come back, we played hard, and we get the result. That's the most important thing.
Mo Salah started the game despite that groin injury that he picked up in the first leg. 6 days on, he was there to score. Didn't look 100% sharp, but did enough to really set Liverpool on their way. By the way, Pep Guardiola in his post-match press conference said, "We were beaten by an exceptional team." Alongside myself and Chris is Richard Connolly, our commentator for this one. Richard, an extraordinary result, which did not look on at half-time in Manchester.
No, it didn't. I mean, this is certainly the worst week of the season for Manchester City now, with 3 defeats in a row. They'd not lost back-to-back games under Pep Guardiola until Saturday. Now it's 3 consecutively. But that shouldn't take away from the fact in the first half they did play outstandingly well. At a high tempo, quick and accurate, moving Liverpool from side to side. Maybe not the welter of clear chances, which was down to the way Liverpool defended their penalty area well. But when they got in front just less than 2 minutes into the game, you really did feel that there was a chance Liverpool could be feeling overwhelmed, could let the tie suddenly slip away from them, that the pressure could tell. And Liverpool did keep their cool. They kept their cool in the first half when they were on the back foot and when City really were the better side. And in the second half, when they had chances then, Liverpool, they took them remarkably well. Pep Guardiola, I'm sure, will reflect that City were a little unfortunate. There were one or two decisions in the penalty area that could have gone their way. And there was an offside goal that I think replays conclude the ball came back off a Liverpool player rather than being played forward by a City player. And that would have meant Leroy Sané, who put the ball in from close range from what would have been an offside position, should not have been flagged. So they were unfortunate in that area as well. But when Liverpool had the chances, they were absolutely clinical. And that bit of belief, they had it. And with the equalising goal on the night, it slipped away from City.
Yeah, as soon as that strike went in from Salah, and it was a brilliant, composed, dinked finish. It was a top-class goal from a wonderful player who is close to 40 goals for the season, which is
ridiculous.
Yeah, and he finished it ice coolly, like someone who has scored more than 35 goals. And from that moment, Liverpool looked through. There didn't seem to be the belief City needed to score 4 goals. Then Pep Guardiola was sent to the stands for marching onto the pitch at half time. Rightly sent to the stands, and I think that contributed maybe as well. It didn't seem to have that presence on the touchline, City, because they were brilliant in the first half. They were as brilliant in the first half as Liverpool were at Anfield, but Liverpool somehow didn't concede more than one goal, and that proved to be pivotal. A bit of luck, definitely, but I thought they defended very well. This is a Liverpool team who, ever since Jurgen Klopp has arrived, people have said they're wonderful going forward, but are they good enough at the back? And we said that again when they let that 3-goal lead against Sevilla slip in the group stage. Well, over the 2 legs against Manchester City, I think they've proved a lot of people that they have improved. Van Dijk, a couple of big challenges. Karius didn't put a foot wrong. You know, he looked composed when there was opportunities, came for some crosses. And I think that, almost as much as how many goals they've scored against City, might be the thing that Liverpool will appreciate the most, because if they're going to win the competition, they're going to have to be good defensively, and they were. And look, they've beaten Manchester City tonight. They haven't just gone to the City of Manchester Stadium and drawn. So they've beaten them twice, and they've beaten them 5-1 on aggregate, which is a comprehensive 2-legged success.
Let's hear from the Liverpool boss now, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, and it was clear half-time, so nothing happened so far. It's 1-0, but we have to do better, we can do better, we have to push up, we have to be more compact. In the first half, the biggest problem was we forced them for a lot of long balls, but the second balls were always for City, and that hurts really, because then they're in a good space for building up their formation and all that stuff. So, yes, we had to fight hard tonight, but I have no problem with that. So we are completely fine and all good. Over 2 legs, we were the better side. I think it's deserved that we go through.
Jurgen Klopp there, who did look pained in the first half when Liverpool weren't winning the second balls. It's almost all part of his philosophy that you fight for everything and win the second ball. But what a job he has done. Richard Connolly took over and he's now got Liverpool into the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, it's an outstanding achievement, and the team does continue to grow. Undoubtedly, they were well organised and had a good game plan tonight. I would slightly take issue with Jurgen Klopp referring to the long balls that City played. I mean, yes, they weren't able to play through the middle along the ground, as I'm sure they would have liked to have done, City, but those were accurate diagonal passes a lot of the time. I mean, De Bruyne was spreading the play quite deliberately and beautifully, wasn't he? I mean, they weren't long balls, as we in England have grown up with them, by any means. I think Liverpool really did win it in their home leg to stop Manchester City from scoring at Anfield. I mean, that always gave their attacking power the chance to seal it for them with one moment at the City of Manchester Stadium. And, I mean, everybody knew when Salah scored that goal that it was done.
The only thing was that when Guardiola picked his team, when we got the, you know, we thought, what is this? He's picked six forwards and Fernandinho behind that, and then the three centre-backs. It was almost as if City thought Liverpool might score. But maybe the goal just came a bit too late because, you know, they still had 35 minutes potentially. It was a big ask, but the one surprising aspect from City was that it really did feel like tie over once that goal went in. And given how many goals they've scored this season, I think you mentioned it in commentary, Richard, maybe the fact that they lost to Anfield, they lost to Manchester United at the City of Manchester Stadium on Saturday, just drained a bit of belief. And had that happened a week ago, then maybe they would have still believe, but they didn't. And credit to Liverpool, and I thought particularly in the second half, I've praised the back four. I thought Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner were impressive, and Wijnaldum. They seemed to push up a little bit and stop City playing certainly more than they were capable of in the first half.
Just a little point on Manchester City, because I mean, if they did need to score five goals tonight, if they were expecting to do that, then they have only scored five in a game once since mid-October, which when they started with such a flurry of goals and they were hitting fives and sixes and sevens in the first 2 months of the season, does tell you something. A quote from Pep Guardiola, it's impossible to maintain the same rhythm and intensity over the course of an entire season, he says. Maybe in the future I will realise how we can be better, but I do need to give the players huge credit. We were playing against a very good Liverpool side today. Look at Barcelona today. This competition is so special. So there's an acknowledgement there, I think, that City maybe are just finding it difficult to reach the levels at this stage of the season that they undoubtedly hit earlier in the campaign. And while they're not exactly creeping over the finish line domestically, they haven't sealed that title in the way that they were hoping to. And now the UEFA Champions League campaign has ended sooner than we all expected, frankly, given their form prior to Christmas.
OK, more to come coming up. We're going to look ahead to tomorrow's quarterfinal second legs when Juventus face the holders Real Madrid and Bayern host Sevilla.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
You're listening to Matchday Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. There are two more huge quarter-final second legs on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League. You can hear them on Matchday Live via UEFA.com or the UEFA Champions League app. So let's start with that tie between last season's two finalists. Juventus go to Real Madrid needing to make up a 3-0 deficit after two brilliant Ronaldo goals in Turin and that third from Marcelo. Chris, Dare we rule out Juve?
No, surely we can't now. And, you know, it's not often that Real Madrid... well, actually, it is, don't they? They always look at how Barcelona are doing and vice versa. Yeah. That's in the club's makeup, and they will definitely have watched that and they will have enjoyed it. But they'll also be mindful of, well, look, if one Italian team can do it to a Spanish side, then maybe the team who are currently leading Serie A can do it to us. The fact that Real Madrid are at home, it clearly makes it a big difference from Roma's position. They were so impressive, Real Madrid, weren't they, in Turin? Without Sergio Ramos, of course, which will be a blow, but just Cristiano Ronaldo. Messi couldn't do it for Barcelona, but in the quarterfinals he has such an extraordinary record. 21 goals, I think, in 20 quarterfinal appearances now. It's mind-blowing, really. Yeah. And something happens when the UEFA Champions League anthem rings round and Real Madrid hear it, because they play at their best. And they were fantastic in Turin last week, and Zinedine Zidane will expect his team to perform just as well.
150th UEFA Champions League appearance on Wednesday for Cristiano Ronaldo, it's set to be. And if Juve fail to produce a miracle comeback, it might be the last time we see Gigi Buffon in this competition. The legendary keeper says he's proud of his achievements in the UEFA Champions League.
I feel great in the sense that I've managed to make three finals in 14 years. So that means every four and a half years on average, being in a final is a great result. Clearly, it's not enough for me, because for as long as I continue playing, my aim will always be to win as much as possible.
Steve Wyatt joins us now. Steve, I wouldn't rule against him playing next season, of course, but...
No, we keep thinking he's retired, and then there he is again.
He just keeps coming back.
Thought he'd retired from international football, and suddenly he was on the pitch, so the man is a miracle. He's about 5 days older than me, Gianluigi Buffon, and it really makes you take a long, hard look in the mirror to think about where it all went wrong.
Are you giving Juve much of a chance? You probably wouldn't have done with Roma, though, tonight, in fairness.
No, it's a slightly different conundrum, isn't it? Away from home, and whereas Roma were unfortunate to be so far behind against Barcelona and were perhaps galvanised by the injustice of that, Juventus, who would have fancied their chances over two legs against Real Madrid, they were just blowing away, weren't they, in that first leg. I'm sorry, they might travel with a little bit of hope, but not much expectation.
And of course, well, no Paulo Dybala, who, if they are to produce a miraculous comeback, they would have liked to have him suspended.
Yeah, key player missing for Juve after he scored a hat-trick at the weekend against Benevento in a 4-2 victory. Big loss for Juve. Also on Wednesday, of course, Sevilla go to Germany, looking to overturn a 2-1 first leg deficit against the 2013 champions. Despite Bayern's dominant position in the tie, Wissam Ben Yedder says Sevilla believe it is far from over.
Obviously, we have a lot of respect for any team who's won the UEFA Champions League as many times as Bayern. They're from a huge country and they're a great team. But as I've said before, at this stage of the season, you're going to be up against huge teams. There are no easy draws. We'll approach this match in the same way we always do and do everything we can to get a good result.
Wissam Ben Yedder started the weekend. Sevilla beaten 4-0 by Celta Vigo. Former Liverpool man Iago Aspas with a hat-trick. But Bayern got a 4-1 win at Augsburg, which secured another Bundesliga title. Chris, they rested much of the team. They could afford to do so. And they're massive favourites, much like Real Madrid, without question.
Yeah, they are. The only thing is, we heard Steve mention about Roma, that they were unfortunate to lose 4-1 against Barcelona in the first leg. Well, Sevilla were very unfortunate to lose 2-1 at home to Bayern. They easily should have got something from it. They could have won the game. And remember, in the last round, they went to Manchester and everyone thought Manchester United were going to beat Sevilla and go through. And Wissam Ben Yedder, who you heard from there, was the hero, scored two goals and they went through. So Bayern have to warn against complacency, really. They are big favourites. They also have a lot of players on yellow cards, which might just impact the way those players perform, because I think it's the likes of Lewandowski, Boateng, Kimmich, if they were to pick up a yellow card, they'd be banned for the semi-finals. So there's that slight narrative as well, but you would expect a team of Bayern's size and experience to now see through the tie, having won the first leg away.
It would be a great couple of weeks for Bayern if they can secure it. They beat Dortmund 6-0 recently, secured the Bundesliga title as well. Looking to do a treble as well, because they're in the semi-finals of the German Cup. Let's get some man of the matches in. Steve Wyatt, you can start us off. Man of the match from Roma's incredible comeback against Barcelona.
Well, you could give it to any one of the 14 players involved, but Edin Dzeko typified the Roma performance from start to finish. He got the goal that gave them help. He won the penalty, gave them hope. He won the penalty that led to the second goal. He was a nuisance throughout. I should just tell you as well, Rob, Eusebio Di Francesco waited at the Roma dressing room door to embrace every single player and staff member on their way in. And in the absence of champagne, bottled water sprayed everywhere. Absolute chaos. Very, very real danger of a food fight breaking out. Roger Nainggolan absolutely covered as he attempted to take a selfie, which I'm sure will be distributed on social media soon.
Modern football, Steve. Thank you very much indeed. Richard Connolly, you get the honour of picking a man of the match from Manchester City, Liverpool.
Well, I'm going to go slightly beyond the obvious. I think James Milner was absolutely critical to the Liverpool rear guard in the first half. He was captain on the night. I thought he was a brave and well-organised man, a lot of very important challenges. I'm going to give it to him.
Thank you very much, Richard. That's all we have time for on Match Day Live on another dramatic night in the UEFA Champions League. We now know this season's first two semi-finalists after Liverpool and Roma progressed on Tuesday, the latter via an extraordinary comeback win over Barcelona. Join us again from 19:30 CET on Wednesday, when Real Madrid and Bayern will try to hang on to their first leg leads over Juventus and Sevilla, respectively. Until then, from Chris Parrott, Richard Connolly, Steve Wyeth, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Firmino's in on goal for Liverpool, scores! Roberto Firmino has sealed Liverpool's place in the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League. Manchester City's dreams are dashed, and that sees off Pep Guardiola and Manchester City. Another defensive mistake, and Firmino took it all the way home.
Chingizunda with the corner, flicked goalwards, and in by Kostas Manolas. And as things stand, Roma are knocking Barcelona out of the UEFA Champions League and taking place in the semi-finals for the first time in 34 years. A stunning night at the Stadio Olimpico. Roma had to score three times, and score three times they have done. It is 4-4 on aggregate. Roma are going through on away goals.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.